Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
What you snacking on?
So you know how when Melissa gave sprinkle cookies?
Yeah.
Teresa said, I don't even like sprinkle cookies. I like pizzelles.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
They're so good.
Yeah.
I like to have those and dip them into cannoli cream.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It's a real luxurious time.
How'd you get cannoli cream just without cannolis?
Over here, you can just get cannoli cream, or people can just make it. So my brother-in-law my brother-in-law is married into like an Italian family, like Italian-American. Like a Judaize level family.
Oh, wow.
You know, I wouldn't say Judaize level. I'd say they're probably very offensive. If they're listening right now, they're going to be like, that's so fucked up. They're not. They're not Judaize or Gorga level. They're like second generation Italian Americans. And so for Christmas, there's always a range of cookies. None of them are sprinkle cookies, FYI.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law makes cannoli cream. Mm. Apparently, it's very easy to throw together. It's mostly powdered sugar.
I think it's just cream and powdered sugar, and you just have to whip it all together.
Yeah, I'm sure we're offending somebody else. I feel like there's a little bit of like citrus in there. It feels like there's maybe some like lemon zest or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of light.
It is. My wedding cake had cannoli cream in it. And do you know where it was from? Do you know last week, we didn't really talk about this, but in last week's New Jersey, David had gotten Frank and Gabby those custom cakes from Palermo's Bakery. Palermo's Bakery did my wedding cake.
Oh, wow.
But also, they do everybody's in North Jersey.
I feel like I have eaten Palermo's cake. I feel like,
you know, they're like a Bergen County.
I've known a few Palermos. There was a pediatric surgeon named Palermo in the university.
But anyway, so today we're not talking about Real Housewives of New Jersey. We're talking about, we're going to talk about Summer House, Married to Medicine, as usual for our Wednesday show. But also we're going to talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta, because frankly, I don't want to talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta again.
Yeah. Shall we just get it over with?
Let's just get it over with, because it was an exhausting season. Was it not?
It was exhausting. I turned it on, the season three, and I was like, am I watching last week's episode?
You mean Reunion Part 3?
Oh, the reunion, yes. It felt like a season.
Yeah.
But I was like, is this last week's? Is this this week's or last week's? Because why are we still on this Bolo stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care, Kenya. I understand what you're trying to say, that, you know, if you were in that position, they wouldn't have let go. Also that, you know, everybody thinks that Portia doesn't lie, but Portia lies and Portia called you a liar and that bothers you, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Okay, move on. Portia doesn't care. We don't care. In fact, Kenya doesn't care either. It's like they took a pretty okay season. It wasn't great with the pandemic. They were doing the best they could. If we hadn't had Bolo and this part of the storyline, we would have been talking. It would have been three episodes of reunion talking about Cynthia's wedding. So I understand this season was going to be one that wasn't going to be good anyways, but I think it was a decision made by Andy and the production and Kenya and Portia to keep this storyline going. Andy could have ended the questions like in the last episode, and this episode we could have focused more on how Drew is lame. There's so much material to go after Drew.
Yeah, so that's funny that you said that, because in my opinion, we had only about three things happening this season. We had the South Carolina Bolo trip, we had Cynthia's wedding, and then we had Drew basically fighting with everyone. And so even though I don't like Drew at all, I think Drew is so lame. A majority of the fighting was around Drew. It was Drew and LaToya, Drew and Kenya, Drew and Ralph. Like, it was a lot of little stuff. And I understand that's probably why she's going to be back for another season. But Kenya, as usual, is right. She is right. But she's wrong in in the way that she goes about making her points. Mm-hmm. Kenya, if you're listening, you don't need to fight with Drew. Drew will dig herself a hole into the ground, cover herself up with dirt, and still mm-hmm. be yapping away. Like, yeah. you don't need to fight with Drew because Drew is lame and everybody sees it. Like, the thing about Drew that I noticed is that Drew is lame for many mm-hmm. reasons, but Drew switched teams halfway through. You mm-hmm. noticed that, right? Like, when she got yeah. to South Carolina,
yeah, yeah.
she was all cozying up with Cynthia and mm-hmm. Kenya. She was yeah. trying to get in there. But once yeah. she got to South Carolina and she noticed that everybody's angry at Kenya, suddenly she decided, oh, I'm backing the wrong horse. And she decided to right. change it up.
And then she said, okay, so Latoya is on Kenya's team. So let me pick on Latoya. So then everybody yes. will support me. Here's the deal, though. Towards the end, everybody was annoyed with Drew. Everybody yes. was annoyed with Drew.
So even Andy.
Even Andy. So if they had gone up against Drew, Marlo, Kenya, and Portia, and Candy would have all been on the same side of the argument. And the audience did not like Drew. So
no.
it would have been a perfectly fine reunion. But they botched it up by keeping the Kenya and Portia thing going for another more than half of the episode 3 of the reunion. And then they finally ended up on Drew at the very end, and it was like, Drew is a mess.
Yeah, that was so funny, right? Like, the way that they had Kenya and Portia, and then suddenly we had to talk about Drew again. I was like, yeah. what the hell is this? Drew, like I said, will sink her own ship, and Drew said a whole bunch of shit that, like, girl, like, karma is a bitch on Housewives. You say any of this shit on your first season, you are mm-hmm. going to get tanked the next season. She even yeah. said, when they talked about, oh, broke bitches split checks, Drew said, mm-hmm. rich bitches buy $1 million homes, right?
Yeah.
Hilarious, because she already has a lien on it. So, like, you know what
but
I mean?
But also, truly rich bitches buy $5 million homes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but, like, $1 million home, I mean, I guess in Atlanta, it's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, like, $1 million home and you're a Real Housewife? Girl, like, you're yeah. going to need to step it up. Like,
right.
that's not that exciting. And also, Drew, just in general, like, the profit stuff was so confusing. Like, she's such a flop. And I actually found Drew to be slightly homophobic a little bit in yes. the way yeah. that she was talking about. Like, the fact that Drew lied about hooking up with Latoya does make me nervous about how that's going to be received with Ralph. Because after Drew lied about that, did you notice that she got really quiet?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't talk yeah. for a long mm-hmm. time. She kept all her comments to herself, yep. all this stuff. And then when Portia and Latoya were talking about what they did when they were hooking up, Drew mm-hmm. was making faces. I was like, yeah. why is this? I mean, Kenya did the same thing earlier in the season, but, like, I don't understand why they definitely give me the air of being slightly homophobic in Atlanta.
I don't understand what the issue is in the first place. And that's where everybody is landed. Even Andy, right? Like, okay, Kenya, so she lied. Okay, bye. Okay, fine. But Marlo angry at Portia because Portia lied to her.
Yes. Here's what I think. I thought about this more than I should, but for the podcast, for the people. The main fight in all of this, the real issue is actually Portia and Candy.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that that's really what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Portia, if you guys watched Candy's Speak On It, her YouTube show, you would know this, mm-hmm. but Portia did Black Lives Matter events. She excluded certain people from it. She has mm-hmm. been a little bit shady about including the rest of the group. And Candy and Kenya were mad. Kenya more so for Candy, but Candy was annoyed because she's been doing stuff. And I think Candy was annoyed because Candy, for a lot of people, is Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, mm-hmm. when they think mm-hmm. about Real Housewives of Atlanta, they do think about Candy Burris. She mm-hmm. has had multiple spinoffs off the show. So I wouldn't be surprised if Candy was kind of like, okay, so Portia is trying to do the Nene thing and just exclude the people that are going to steal her spotlight. And while yeah. I don't know if that's true, I don't know if that was Portia's intention. Candy could very well be having a private experience, but you know that Candy and Portia have a low simmering hatred. I mean, Candy, by the end of it, you could tell she was almost emotional talking about it.
Yeah.
She was not okay with Portia. She was not friendly yeah. with Portia. And that's when Portia suddenly realized, oh, they're all mad at me because of shit that I said years and years ago. So it all comes mm-hmm. down to this. Here's the pieces of the puzzle where Marlo comes in and everything. The Bolo stuff happens. Kenya does Bolo court and is, like, trying to be cutesy and fun and offensive and mm-hmm. rude, but mm-hmm. create drama for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than taking it for what it is, Portia and Tanya start to get super upset, say that they're going to be bringing in lawyers and start calling Kenya a liar. Kenya, mm-hmm. feeling offended that she's been called a liar, says, no, I am not the liar here.
Mm-hmm.
Portia is the liar. And yeah. the reason why Marlo gets mad is because Marlo finds out from Candy that Portia admitted to stuff to Candy. Mm-hmm. But Marlo and Portia are supposed to be homies. So why mm-hmm. wasn't that Portia lied to Marlo and was honest with Candy?
Mm-hmm. And she's offended that Portia would not allow her to be friends with Kenya. And yes. with just one conversation with Kenya, Portia suddenly feels that Marlo is not trustworthy.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. Like,
yeah.
Marlo thinks she's trustworthy, and why would Portia treat me like I'm not trustworthy just because I said hello to Kenya?
Yes, exactly. And Marlo says it. I still don't trust Kenya. She's not really my friend. They both don't really trust each yeah. other, but they're cordial with each other. I yeah. think the issue that Marlo feels is, if you're being honest and you don't yeah. have anything to hide, then why are you getting so upset with me when I'm friends with Kenya? And to everybody watching the show, we're like, but she's not upset with you. Things yeah. between Marlo and Portia are fine. But the yeah. key was, which is what Marlo said, that is, Portia admitted to Candy what happened, but she wouldn't tell me the truth. Is she yeah. lying to me? Why yeah. is she lying to me? Is she lying to yeah. me because now I'm friends with Kenya? Because that's yeah. messed up. And then yeah. they bring it back to, Portia is an untrustworthy person because yeah. Portia is the one that spread lies about Candy trying to drug somebody and rape mm-hmm. them. And that's yeah. when Portia shut down and suddenly started to feel like, oh, well, now I'm being, you know, held to the cross for something I did 4 years ago, which was like, you didn't do a small thing 4 years ago. You yeah. lied about something 4 years ago. Right. And certainly that has nothing to do with whether or not you slept with a man with a 24-inch penis. But people are not likely to trust you within your group that you're being cast on. There's a reason why Kenya is friends with Shamia and Candy mm-hmm. and Cynthia and Marlo. Mm-hmm. But Portia is kind of on the outs with everybody mm-hmm. except for Shamia. Besides that, you saw what's going on with Portia and Simon?
So I just saw that. And so our friend Ray texted me.
Yes.
And she was like, I need to discuss it. Yeah. Did you see this? I need to discuss this. He's going off. I was okay. like, okay, I just saw yeah. that, but I don't know what is happening there. Is okay. that him? Is that
so,
him?
Yeah. So reunion okay. aside, okay, okay, the reunion was whatever. I'm sick of seeing mm-hmm. Portia and Kenya fight. I don't mm-hmm. think that goes anywhere from there. I think Portia ultimately is a Nini proxy. She mm-hmm. was doing the Nini thing. She had her best Nini face on. She was mm-hmm. acting like Nini. She
got up and walked around.
She
and
said so nasty, just like mm-hmm. Nini did. Like, she's yeah. doing a baby Nini cosplay. And as long as Portia is Nini's proxy, there's no way Kenya and Portia can be friends. It's not mm-hmm. gonna happen.
Right.
But aside from that, on social media yesterday, Portia posted a Mother's Day post of herself standing with Dennis the Hot Dog King and Simon, mm-hmm. who is Fallon's ex-husband. As you know, Fallon, they just reported that they're getting divorced like a month ago because Simon's mm-hmm. ex-husband says that she was cheating on him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the picture is very damning. She's very much cuddling up with this man. She's got a ring on her finger. She's got her hand on his belly.
With Dennis standing
right next to her. But her back is like almost turned to Dennis. It looks yeah. like she's a couple with Simon and Dennis is also there. It's a yeah. Mother's Day post. And it's not like one picture amongst many. It's three pictures of them.
And there's
all
no
together.
Picture of the kid.
There's no that picture was the other of the thing. Kid.
Like at Mother's Day, but there's picture
there's
of the
no
kid.
No picture of the mom. No picture of the kid. You got Simon, who is supposedly your friend's ex-husband. Now, I know mm-hmm. Simon and Dennis are friends, mm-hmm. but there's some unfollowing stuff. Fallon doesn't follow Portia anymore. Dennis doesn't follow Simon anymore. And Dennis also commented on the picture, P, I'm so excited for your future, or something like that.
So is Portia now hooked up with Simon?
I don't know. But also the
but
ring.
That the ring, not just the ring, but also she looked preggers. Did you feel like she was wearing this okay. loose dress?
People are saying that she looked preggers. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to assume what somebody's body looks like when they're pregnant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I did that with Brandi Redmond, but Brandi yeah. Redmond's a terrible person, so it's different.
Yeah, she did that.
That was fucked up. But I don't know if she's pregnant, you know. I know I look pregnant when I wear a muumuu too.
But she was also holding herself a certain way.
It was very weird. The ring, I looked it up, is not the ring that she got for the hot dog man. It's actually Fallon's ring look like that. So I don't know if Portia is trolling us. I don't know what she's trying to do. But if Portia thinks that the world is going to continue. She's been hanging around with
Hannah too long.
Oh my God.
I think it's all the effect of hanging around with Giselle and Hannah.
You think it's like a produced thing?
I don't know.
Well, if she thinks that she's going to continue to be a fan favorite after she shacks up with Fallon's ex-husband, no way. I've always just been fine with Portia. Portia has never been my favorite person on Atlanta. I think that Portia's been great. I think Portia's an entertaining person.
Yeah.
But I have always been very on the edge with Portia. I've never quite loved her the way that people have loved her. I think the stuff that she's doing with the movement, obviously, it's great. I think that she's using her platform the way that she should be using it. But I think that it's very obvious that Portia is over the show and she's ready to move on from it to do other stuff. I think you can always tell when a housewife feels that they are above their show. And that's what I get from Portia. And actually, that's what I got from Hannah too, from the Summer House Reunion Part 2.
Yeah, I didn't get that from Hannah.
That she's over the show?
Yeah, she's not over the show.
You think she needs the show?
She needs the show. And she knows it. And that's why she's crying. And she's trying to play victim so that she will be kept on, and that there'll be some storyline of reconciliation that she'll play a part in, and blah blah. But are we moving on to that? Because that's a whole other. It was like between Atlanta and Summer House, I was tired.
Really? I love the Summer House second reunion.
Summer House was fine, but it was fine. But I felt like there were so many, again, it was Andy. It was like there are so many specific questions that Andy could have asked, and he could have pressed on people for certain things, and he did not. And that bothered me because he would not follow up and press. In Summer House, he started off with how did that episode start?
Episode started with Luke saying that he's going to break the fourth wall.
That was somewhere towards the middle. Something else happened before that.
Oh, it was Kyle got up and walked away because he was really annoyed with Hannah. One of the many times that Kyle
Kyle was upset that Hannah had announced her engagement.
Yes.
And had not shared it with Amanda. And even Paige had to call her and find out. So when Amanda called her, Hannah said she was at the DMV. This might be the only funniest thing. This might have been she was really at the DMV, and that's the only funny thing that Hannah has ever said to me. That was a funny thing to say, is to say, hey, I'll call you back, I'm at the DMV, which if you are in the Jersey, New York DMV is a big deal. The DMVs around the DMV area here is kind of, it's okay. It's actually not as bad as when I lived in New Jersey.
No, it's terrible up here.
Jersey DMVs have reputations. So,
yes.
So if she said, I'm at the DMV, that's as much as saying I'm entering the Holland Tunnel.
Yeah.
I'm getting into the tunnel. I will not be able to call you. So that was the one thing that I thought was, I found it funny, and I laughed, and I was so mad at myself for laughing at a Hannah joke. But then I was like, she didn't even try to be funny, and that was funny.
Yeah.
But essentially, she said she's at the DMV and she would call back. And then 3 or 4 hours later, she'd never call back. And when Amanda called her again, she said she didn't call back because she had heard that Kyle had been going
ballistic. Yeah.
Ballistic on her. And it was like, Kyle was upset. And here's the deal. Kyle is also going overboard. You don't have to be upset about.
No, he's not.
Yeah. But I feel he's going overboard.
No.
Between Amanda and Hannah.
No, here's the reason why Kyle was pissed. We found out why Kyle was pissed. Kyle was pissed because Amanda had found out through somebody else, through People Magazine, that Hannah was engaged. She reached out to Amanda. She reached out to Hannah. Hannah said, I'll call you. I'm at the DMV. Hannah said, I'm going into the subway. I have no service. Hannah took a piece of paper, crumpled it up against the microphone of her phone, and said, I can't hear you. I'm going into the tunnel. And then
all
said,
of it would be funnier. It would be funny. And that is not Hannah.
But
you all know Hannah is not funny. So she was literally at the DMV.
Okay. So she did that. And then the next thing that came out was that she also said that everybody has wished me congratulations except for Kyle. But Kyle went bananas because Kyle was like, first of all, we're not friends. Secondly, we didn't know how am I supposed to wish you when I didn't know? And third, Amanda did reach out to you and did try to talk to you, but you never called her back. Yeah. So that's why Kyle is going ballistic, because I think also Kyle, I understand why he gets upset. It's because, first of all, he's a Cancer. Okay. You get it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it, which is why I get it, which is why I'm like, Kyle is behaving like me and he needs to stop behaving like that, because nobody cares, Kyle. You are the only one upset. Nobody else is upset as much as you are.
Remember season three when Kyle wrote, was it Lindsay or a Workus twin, like an 18-page email?
So
okay, but my point is Kyle is an emotional person, okay? So I get that, but also I can imagine that when you're an emotional person and you're seeing your partner, right, your fiance, the love of your life, crying and upset, it would make sense that they're that upset. Like it it would make sense that Kyle would get this heated. Look, I wouldn't get that heated, but I can understand somebody like Kyle, who is so emotional, would get so upset when his fiance is crying over this friendship, while the person who she's crying over is going on podcasts and doing articles and going on the chat room and all these things talking about how, you know, everybody's treating her poorly. When Amanda's like begging for her to let her treat her with love, and Hannah's purposely cutting her off.
Yeah, but that's wrong of Amanda. It's like,
absolutely.
I not wrong, but I'm saying it's a lost cause with Hannah. That's what I'm trying to get to, is that she is basically a very self-centered, selfish brat. Like she eventually says, Amanda says, that she's going to do what she wants to do for herself. That's, she's too selfish for that. Hannah is going to do the same thing to Sierra. She's going to do the same thing to Paige. Paige is protecting her heart by just saying, oh, Hannah's doing her shit, I'm doing my shit, I'm not going to get involved. That's how Paige is protecting her heart. But you know, Hannah is that kind. She's a piece of shit. And that's the kind of friend that nobody wants. And then for Amanda to assume that Hannah wants to be in their friendship, and Hannah just called her, said that their friendship was toxic. The fact that Hannah said their friendship was toxic when they had a blowout.
Yep.
And Amanda stayed friends with her after that.
Yep.
It blows my mind. It's like Amanda just likes, this is the same thing with Kyle. She puts up with so much shit.
Yeah.
It's not going to end well for Amanda if she keeps doing that. If somebody told me that their our friendship was toxic, that would be the end of it.
No, absolutely.
It would be hurtful, but it would be the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think Amanda, by the end, hopefully got that. I think Carl actually said something that was exactly on point, which was, you get to say whatever you want and say, oh, well, I'm a comedian, and call it funny. When it's not funny, it actually hurts the people. So, you know, it almost feels like we've sort of touched on it before. Summer House is a show about friends. Hannah is under the impression that she's on Vanderpump Rules. And I think Hannah thinks that she can say funny things and shady things like a housewife and everybody will move on because it's different. But that's not what it is. These are young people who are actually friends with each other. And Hannah is under the impression that she can say things and it can all just be considered, you know, drumming up drama for the show or creating publicity. But it's like, you can't do that when it's actually our real lives. Yeah. Now, there's so many amazing people on the internet, like Andy said, I think on Atlanta, he had said there's a million private investigators of Bravo fans. So there's a bunch of people that have put together a timeline of interviews of things that have happened over the last few months from the time that she was engaged to now. And it's all very telling, because every time Hannah talks about the cast, she's like, oh, they don't like me, they've been trashing me, blah, blah, blah. But every time they show place a clip of any time Kyle and Amanda have talked, Kyle always says, I'm very happy for her. I'm glad she found a person. Amanda says the same thing. I'm glad she found a person. It's weird that they don't want to spend time with us, but I really am happy for Hannah. I think that Hannah is, you know, we've said this before, Hannah doesn't know who she is. Hannah is a deeply insecure person. She's got that mindset of, before somebody else can hate on me or make fun of me or get rid of me or push me away, let me do it first. I mean, it's kind of what Lindsay does, but Lindsay does it in a different way. Hannah is using her own, her defense mechanism is to, quote unquote, make fun of people or make jokes about things. But it's like, even at the end, Paige said, or Lindsay said, I don't think Hannah is capable of showing remorse because she physically doesn't know how to say the words. Like, yeah. And then finally at the end, she says, oh, but it was all about my own ego, which is.
She says it as almost like, but I did this for my ego and you guys didn't, you guys are ganging up on me because I was just doing this for my ego.
Yeah, exactly. She like, wants it to like be an excuse.
Yeah, excuse. It's like, no, that's remorse.
Look, I think that Hannah should be back on Summer House because I think that it would just be hilarious to watch her try to kiss everybody's ass. Mm-hmm. And I hope that Amanda finally gets it and gives her the cold shoulder because I do think that would be really funny. I loved it
when Hannah finally said, I'm sorry. And Amanda was like, okay.
She said, she didn't even say, okay. She said, okay.
Yeah.
That's savage, okay?
But that's what she should have been saying the whole season.
I mean, it takes time. I get it. I feel like, what is Amanda's sign? Is she like a Leo and a Virgo cusp? Because I really feel like I get Amanda. I get that. Yeah. I understand. We were right, by the way, about, I do want to point out that Luke. We were right about Luke. We were right that it was about the fourth wall. And it was so funny because, man, first of all, 100% I believe that the producers did ask him to send, go to just Minnesota.
Just the fact that Andy was so quick to refute it. Like, Andy, you weren't there.
Of all, Andy was so quick to refute it, but also the way that it was edited down was really fake. Did you notice that? The editing was really choppy. So, and also, hello, we've been watching Bravo for 20 years. We can tell when something was dubbed on later on. Yeah. Like, you can tell when something is happening live versus when it's a voiceover. And you could tell that Andy saying that's not true was a voiceover. So it was like super fake. And then on top of that, the funniest thing was Luke says, I was produced and asked to take Hannah to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Andy says, that's not true. Hannah gets up, starts crying. Andy says, well, that's not true because even production said that you were reaching out to them to confirm when you were going to take them.
Talking to the producers. So the producers knew. And
Why would he be coordinating with production about when he's going to take this girl to Minnesota if production wasn't involved? Production was involved because they probably wanted to take cameras with them to do this whole thing.
Yeah.
Secondly, then he goes to the back and production again is like, well, I think what you actually meant was
meant
Luke.
To say. And Luke is so dumb. Like, he says that I'm breaking the fourth wall, I'm saying all of this, right? And then he blurts it. And then when Andy says no, he's so shocked by that reaction that he's like, okay, does that mean I lost my job? And then he's just sitting there like deer in the headlight. Like, okay, you were going to break the fourth wall. You prepped us for it. And then now you're scared of speaking up. What is happening? And then when production tries to put words into his mouth, he's like, okay, I'll follow that. And I think he got scared by the reaction of the others because everybody else got shocked. And they're like, oh, no, you broke the fourth wall. So what if you broke the fourth wall? It's like everybody was scared. Amanda sitting there, this is not good. Like, what is not good? It's like, why are you guys pretending like we don't understand what's going on?
It's so funny because, you know, Luke saying this thing, like, I'm going to do this big boy thing and then doing the thing and then sort of watering it down based on everybody's reaction kind of reminds me of when Luke was like, I'm going to go fight these guys. And then walked like, inside I don't like you.
But that's what it was. Like, he came off, he was going to do a big thing. And then he started walking it all back almost instantly. And he's like, I shouldn't have said that to Hannah because that is mean. Because it sounds like I only invited her because of production and not because I was interested in her. So I should go say sorry. But even that, he doesn't explain that way. The way he talks about it is like, I shouldn't have said it. So what? Is that true or not true? Are you saying that you were lying or not? And Hannah says, you're the only one I trusted. What about Paige, Hannah?
So fucked up.
Like, what is she?
Exactly. She's like, you're the only person I trusted. Like, what are you talking about? What about like your new best friend Sierra and your best friend Paige
and all the times that you were talking shit about Luke? And Luke is like, thanks for dragging me through all that, and let me just say that thanks for putting me through all that, right? And he's trying to be sarcastic, but he almost sounded thankful. That was the part, like, he's supposed to sound sarcastic. Like, well, let me just say, thank you for putting me through that hell. But instead, he sounds thankful. Like, thank you for putting me through that hell. It's like he's not able to be.
It's like Luke.
He's been too nice. He doesn't know how to be not nice.
Also, like, Luke, like, gives me the
Luke
feeling.
Is lukewarm about everything.
He almost gives me the feeling where, like, he doesn't quite, because he's an actor, right? Luke is a model / actor. So I think until Luke is given the direction of how he should be behaving in this
He doesn't have a thought of his own.
He doesn't. He's just such a, you know, it really made me feel endeared to Luke. Like, it was
like,
funny.
Luke, your head is so empty. Like, that head, that skull, that brain is so empty. That you could put anything in there.
Big, and beautiful head has only marbles going through.
Exactly.
Just rattling about like a pinball machine.
It's got Minnesota, it's got jewelry, and it's got some woodwork. And the rest of it is just sawdust from all the woodwork.
Exactly. You know, I think the way Hannah behaved reminded me of when my kid does something bad and they know that they did something bad. First, they deny it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the reaction is one of two things. Either I'll be yelling at them and they will start nervously laughing or they will start crying hysterically because they truly don't know how to deal with this confrontation. Yeah. And that's what Hannah is doing. Every time they call her out on something, she's like, oh, I don't know, I thought it was a joke. And everybody's like, it was really fucked up. And by then she's like, I thought about it and actually that was really messed up. And that's when Carl's like, you're not being honest. I don't think you mean that. You're just saying things. Yeah. And it's like, I do agree with you that it did seem like by the end, Hannah was like, what do I have to say to keep this job? Because I feel like even by the end, Andy was kind of fed up with her. Yeah. Like, I think she got nervous about even her other Bravo paycheck. So like, I know people hate her and don't want her on the show, but I actually do want her on the show only because I'm excited for her to get dragged. But I truly don't know if she's going to be on the show. Yeah. I don't know.
The whole part about her, and they brought up the psychic and she started smirking. This was right after she had been crying. She comes back and the psychic thing comes up and she's laughing. Saying, yeah, that was messed up too. I'm sorry about it. Instead, she's like laughing. And I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's not.
And then when Danielle goes off, Paige goes off at Danielle. I'm like, no. Why?
It was
why
very
are you
weird.
Defending her, Paige? Hannah truly has, she's stunted in her processing.
It's very easy for Hannah to get some resolution about what's going on in her head if she starts therapy now. She's like, what, 28 or 29?
Yeah.
Girl, this is a great age for you to start therapy. I know she talks. Well, speaking of therapy, she got dropped by a mental health sponsor that she had.
Yeah.
And when she got dropped by the mental health sponsor for talking shit about Luke having suicidal ideations, Hannah posted an apology note and she said, of course, she included probably a stolen meme. Mm-hmm. And she included this long thing and it said, it has come to my attention that people are offended by something that I said a couple of months ago, blah, 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 blah. But it was so funny because it was like, it has come to my attention means I got dropped by a sponsor. So now I'm going to say something, you know? So I don't know. She sucks. But I do still think she should be on the show. I don't know. I feel like she, as much as I hate her, look, she is the reason why we had a majority of the drama this season.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think there was other drama that could have happened, but it just didn't happen because she sucked so much of the energy. It was all about her. I cannot have another season of everything revolving
around her. I definitely don't want that. I don't want it to revolve around her, but I do want everybody to have a fun, great time. And Amanda and Hannah just, you know, sulking on the side. I do get excited at the thought of that potentially happening. I did also think it was weird that Andy kept asking Sierra a lot of questions. Uh-huh. I was like, Sierra has no thoughts about anything. She said five words all season. Why aren't you asking Danielle fucking questions? How about that? Right. Yeah. How about that? Like,
yeah, exactly. Danielle had opinions and you could have asked a lot of questions of Danielle. She would have spoken up. Sierra's answers were also so dull.
Extremely dull. She doesn't seem to have an opinion about anything because also Sierra's like 23, 24. She's really young. So a lot of the things that the rest of the cast, the older people are dealing with is things in their 30s.
Yeah.
Sierra doesn't understand because she's 24 years old. She's a kid. So I mean, sorry, 24-year-olds are not kids. Sierra doesn't understand because she's 24 and she's not experiencing things that you do.
You just went into auntie space. You're turning into an auntie when you look at a 20-year-old.
Look, she's a full 12 years younger than me. So in my mind, she's a kid. Okay.
Yeah, but it was frustrating for me because I wanted Andy to press Luke on why, what he meant when he said it was the producers. Does that mean that you didn't want her to come? Blah, blah, blah. He could have asked that question. I wanted Andy to press Hannah on, don't you think it's wrong to be going with Des and making out in other people's... And even then, she still didn't get why that was gross. And he didn't say, don't you think that is gross to go into somebody's private space and do that? And she didn't answer that. I wanted Andy to press on, why would she bring up the psychic thing if she didn't, he sort of brought it, but he didn't push on it. And he didn't say that it wasn't that wrong to bring it up. Other people did. And he wasn't like pushing.
Thing with Andy I've actually noticed is Andy doesn't usually have opinions about whether or not something is or is right or wrong. I also noticed this, especially because now I'm paying more attention to the way things are worded since watching the Dallas reunion, is he asks questions because so-and-so from Waukesha, blah, 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 Wisconsin has asked a question.
Who doesn't exist. And yeah, he's going to ask that. So it's not him asking.
It's not him, right? How he kind of keeps himself out of it. But overall, I really enjoyed the Summer House reunion. I actually wish it was 3 episodes. And I think that the funniest thing about it is that Kyle was hammered. The whole time he was so nervous drunk. And here's the thing. I think Kyle was nervous drunk because I think at his core, Kyle wants to be loved. And Kyle wants – and it's some to do with ego. But Kyle is a loving person who wants Hannah to love him back. And he does all these things. He does the house. Like, okay, as somebody who has in the past planned trips with friends and who has been the trip organizer, you put in a lot of effort into making sure that everybody's having a really good time, right? So when you notice somebody not having a good time or somebody talking shit about you, you're like, how could you do that to me? I care about you so much. I planned this whole thing and you don't care. And so if you take that from like, instead of a weekend, it's now a 5-year long event of Summer House.
Yeah.
I can see why Kyle gets so emotional.
Yeah.
That's the thing why he was drinking is because he was so nervous about all of it. It was like so poor Amanda.
Carl solidified his position as the daddy of the group with his, what do I always say? What do I ask you to say?
Kids. What do we always say? What is it? Like, who does it better than us?
Oh, yeah. Who has it better than us? And nobody. Noah.
He's so cute. Also, at the end, when everybody's toasting to bread or toasting to those sandwiches, Carla at the end goes, I'm on a low carb diet.
You're also sober. That's why you're having a sandwich, you idiot. Eat the damn sandwich.
I loved it. All right, let's talk about Married to Medicine. It was kind of a filler episode, no?
The filler, but also there was setting up of Anila and Toya going at each other.
Yes. What do you think about that?
So Anila didn't pay her bills, right?
Wrong.
That's wrong.
Yes.
But Toya talking about it to everybody in the tennis group, that's wrong too. I think Toya talked about it, and Anila is super embarrassed. She's moving into this new neighborhood. She doesn't want people to know she's having any money problems.
Yes.
And she doesn't want to be known as a person that didn't pay their bills. Yes. And so that's super embarrassing to her. And she is, I think she might have gotten some backlash from a husband too. Why is this happening? What is this big bill? And how are you going to pay for it? Blah, blah, blah. And she's having this issue. And now it's been made worse by Toya talking to other people. And she's embarrassed. But she came into Jackie's sex positivity porn party and she tried to give Simone a hug. And Simone said, no, we're not hugging anymore. And then literally the next minute, Quad comes in and gives Simone a big hug. So I feel like I noticed it that Simone and Jackie sort of keep Anila at a distance, like an arm's length, like she's not one of us kind of thing.
And they're not really including her. And Toya is the one that was letting her get included. And now she's found out that Toya is talking about her. And I think that's making her feel very insecure and out of place with this group.
That's interesting. I did not notice that, but that's really interesting. I wonder if...
Do you see that the rest of the ladies don't necessarily talk to her?
Yes.
Have one-on-one conversations with her? All they ask is, where's Toya?
Yeah.
They don't have a conversation with her, so she's like isolated for the most part.
I wonder if at that point everybody thought that
she was not going to make it,
well, or that Quad was going to still be on the show, because Quad didn't come to DC, but at that point Quad has filmed with Heavenly and Jackie and Simone. Well, Anila was there too, but I think that they probably assumed that Quad was still going to be on the show. I also think that because you had Lisa Nicole and Kari and all these people, I think they probably thought Anila was still auditioning. But I think that I wouldn't be surprised if that's the reason why they weren't like chummying it up. I mean, it was kind of awkward. She was sitting in the back and she was fighting with Toya the whole time. I felt really bad for Anila because it does suck to be in that position. But it's like, girl, pay your fucking bills. I understand why Toya is the one who's pissed, because it's Toya's makeup artist that she owes money to. But at the same time, Toya is known to be terrible with her money.
Right.
So her talking to anybody about finances is bullshit. Right. That being said, I guess this is now we know why Anila is actually really good friends with Quad and Contessa and Heavenly and Jackie. Mm-hmm. And she's not really friends with Toya anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So now this makes sense. What did you think of Jackie's sex party?
It was fine. I don't know what to make of those things. I really don't. I'm like, okay, so you got somebody. Niecy came.
Yes.
She is part-time medical technician, part-time porn star, part-time a master's in sexual studies. And she is going to give giveaways based on some scorecard. And the scorecard didn't include Anila and Toya.
No,
they didn't get anything. What did Anila get?
It included them, but they never, I don't know if they, I don't think they
gave them
anything.
The card to fill out, but I don't think they talked about
it.
They
didn't film them, talking about any of that. That's interesting.
And then Contessa was her usual overachieving Contessa self, where she was being nodding real for everything that was anti-men and you know, anything that had to do with her husband. She was like, at 40, you realize it and you need to do your own shit. And I'm like, you hate Scott so much.
Well, so here's the thing. I don't know if she hates... I don't know if she hates Scott as much as she loves reaching for a storyline.
I think, didn't she say she's bi?
I mean, she may, I don't know if she did.
Yeah.
But I mean,
she's very unhappy with Scott.
So here's what I think about I'll be honest, I did enjoy watching the sex party, mostly because Quad is a hilarious person. Oh,
that part was funny. And look, Quad,
you put Quad on TV. You give her the opportunity to say a bunch of one-liners. It's so funny. They're talking about a hook on a penis, and she says, "Captain Hook, ahoy there, matey." And I had to pause and like I was crying laughing. And then when Toya and Anila are fighting, Quad says they're falling out of their subdivision.
That part was funny. She's like, "There's a falling out in their subdivision."
It killed me so much. I was like, Quad is so funny. And then later on, she says, and I don't know at what point she says it, but she says, "Quiet as a church mouse walking on cotton." How can you not love Quad on TV? But also when they're all doing all this stuff and Contessa is starting to get like choked or whatever, Simone says about choking, she goes, "Nah, that's not for me. Just cutting off my carotid, baby." So like the reason why I enjoy watching these ladies do all these like sex party
Heavenly
things,
with the dog bone.
Yes.
That was the first. I mean, any one of us would have picked that up for Heavenly. Like the one thing that you pick up is something that'll shut her up.
It's so funny because this is why I enjoy watching them at like these sex party things, is because I do love the one-liners. They talk about it in such a hilarious way. Like even Heavenly, when she talks, she's talking shit. She's like, oh, that's my friend. This is how I fall out with my friends. This is what happens. Like she's talking about Jackie's sex life. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed watching the episode because the quad moments are just especially hilarious mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
They're so funny. Yeah. I love her so much. The Z Gallery comment that we saw from their previews. Yeah. It's so she's quality television. So
why didn't she come back? I don't understand.
So I think the reason why is because in the beginning when they started filming, remember there was a picture that Quad had posted with her butt in that net outfit or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think Quad was traveling. And so they probably couldn't film with her after she had come back because she probably went into quarantine.
Mm.
So that could be why.
That could be it. And Contessa, of course, gets COVID and everybody has to quarantine because of her ass. Okay, Contessa bothers me so much that I cannot look beyond. Like this episode, I couldn't look beyond Contessa being overly Contessa.
Yeah, I felt like she was doing annoying. Too much also, but I ignored her because there was Quad on the table. I just love Quad.
And then Cecil wants to be a mixologist. So that was a cute scene where for once Simone wasn't yelling.
She wasn't, but it was really funny because they're talking about empty nesting and being sad when their kids leave. They're actually trying to get Miles out of the house. And Cecil gets so emotional about their dog.
The dog. I know.
I was like, I love them so much.
Yeah.
I do enjoy watching Cecil and Simone together. I'll be honest, the season when they were on the outs made me very upset to watch.
That's why that reunion was so good, because we went through that journey with them because we were upset that they were breaking up, like everybody else was upset. And then when they made up towards the end and said they would give it one more go, it felt like you were part of that intervention and you got them to do it and you were cheering on for them. That's because we like them together. We actually like most of them together. I just don't care for Jackie and Curtis. That's all. I think Contessa and Scott need to separate.
I don't like Jackie and Curtis, and I don't care about Scott and Contessa for the same reasons. Both Contessa and Jackie have an air of their shit not stinking. And I think that is unrelatable. With Simone and Cecil, Simone was very honest about things that she was, you know, where she was shutting down. Yeah. She was admitting it. Yeah, I shut down. I go and live in a different house. I don't talk to him. Right. I go upstairs and I close the door. Like with Contessa, she acts like Scott is treating her some type of way for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Or that
it's like she feels only like Scott's issue. It's only Scott's fault. It's only Scott's fault and it's not hers.
Yes. And that's where I like disconnect, because that's just not the reality of relationships. That's not how that works. It's never going to be just one person. Even Jackie and Curtis, the one season when we found out Curtis cheated on her was probably the only season where I somewhat like Jackie. And that's just because I felt bad for her. But for the most part, Jackie acts like she is, you know, amazing at everything and her life is perfect. And I just don't believe that. That's not a believable situation for me.
And they're also sometimes mean to them. And
Jackie can
Jackie and Curtis. Oh, yeah. Jackie did in the beginning, I thought a little bit, but I don't think anymore. But Contessa, really, I feel sorry for Scott, because I feel like he struggles with her personality.
Scott seems like he's constantly being blindsided by Contessa's stuff. And then she's like, he never wants, like in the preview, it shows next episode, like, oh, Scott just never wants to talk about our relationship. Well, maybe because you're a confusing person and you're not even sure why you're mad at him.
Yeah.
You're not even sure why you don't like him. You're going around on TV insinuating that your husband is cheating on you.
Yeah.
Just so that you have a storyline. It was very strange. I didn't like it. But I don't know. Yeah. We'll see next episode. Next episode, I'm also very excited because Quad and Toya are going to throw down. Can't wait. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait.
I think Anila needs to bring a storyline here. I mean, she doesn't have much right now. I worry about her hanging in there. She might be there because she makes friends with all of the others, but I don't know.
Well, Anila is technically doing Toya's storyline. She's building a house. She's having financial issues. That's Toya's storyline.
Yeah.
So that's a storyline that Toya's had in the past, you know, unless she wants to be like Quad and start a new business venture every season. That's kind of how it goes for the marrieds and not the medicines. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Married.
Yeah. The they're the marrieds and the others are the medicines.
The MRS and not the MD, as Carrie would say.
So dumb. All right. So, Arthi, you're not going to be on our next episode.
No, I'm not.
You're getting your shot.
I'm getting my shot. It's going to be funny because I'm going to get a shot and then I have overbooked myself that evening. So it's going to be interesting to see how I navigate that.
Oh my God, I can't wait. So next episode, we're going to talk about Housewives. We're going to have on Tom Hamlet as my sub. He's going to be you. From the Dumpster Dive podcast, and we're going to have a guest.
Tom, on. Tom needs to have some mic issues so he can channel me.
I'll tell him.
I'll be looking forward to seeing how Tom channels me.
Yeah, so we're going to have, I think we're going to also have a guest on. We're still solidifying that. So I don't like to say who the guest is until we confirm them, but we're going to have our not Arthi and somebody else. Yeah. but anyway, we will you won't talk to them on Saturday. I'll talk to them on Saturday. But good luck on your, what is it, Moderna?
Moderna. Yes, yeah. I'm getting the second Moderna.
Yeah, you're going to get Laura Moderna raging through your body.
I'm dreading it.
It won't be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm dreading it only because
No, I'm not dreading it so much for the pain and all of that. That's fine. I'm dreading it because I have overbooked myself this week with work.
Yes.
And so I'm dreading it because I couldn't move a lot of stuff. And so I have to show up.
Well.
So it'll be interesting to see how I navigate all that. I like to do this to myself.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, good luck with that. Prayers for Arthi.
Yeah.
We'll see if Arthi's back next Monday.
I don't know. This may be it. To end on a Hannah and Contessa,
Rage fest.
Rage fest is not where I want to end. I want to end on a happy Karen Huger note.
Okay. Well, hopefully, you know, Karen Huger had her vow renewal last weekend.
I know.
Yeah. Blessings. Bless ups, too. If you're going to pray for Arthi, please also pray for the Hugers. Okay. They are a formidable institution of a business and a marriage. Okay.
Is now in a dangerous zone.
Yeah.
With the vow renewal.
Exactly.
I hope they survive.
Yes. So we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.